Welcome to our Bible study in the book of Revelation. Today is Wednesday, February 21st, 2024. We'll be meeting here in the NLA Start Meeting Room every Wednesday at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern. For those listening on YouTube or Rumble and would like to join us live or view our past studies and PDF study aids, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/Bible-study-revelation. Our study will be about 45 minutes and a 15-minute Q&A for questions, comments, and corrections. If no one raises their hand, we'll continue to study for the additional 15 minutes. If you have any questions, please take note of the book, chapter, and verse so that we can easily go back to the verses in question. All right, let us begin with a prayer. Holy, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to Thee and thank Thee that you have revealed to us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank thee that in him we can have eternal life, and we praise thee that we have thy word. Help us to respect it and regard it with great reverence and fear than ever before. Father, we pray that thou will forgive us where we have been slothful, where we have not studied thy word, where we have been careless. O Father, forgive us and give us an increase in diligence to look into thy word. We pray that you lead us as we continue looking into thy word. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. We're still looking at the calendar. I'm guessing probably two more sessions tonight and maybe next week, but we'll see what we get to tonight. Just to go quickly through this, to talk about these dates, and let me go up to the first calendar we're looking at here, which is this timelines. It's extremely important to realize that these days are set in place. We can't move them anywhere. The fall of man, when Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden, was 11,013 B.C. That's an unchangeable date. Can't be moved. Anybody that wants to go into a deep study on that, you can find the biblical calendar of time up on the website. The flood was in 4,940 B.C. The birth of Jacob was in 2007 B.C. Jacob's name changed to Israel in 1907 B.C. Israel enters Egypt in 1877 B.C. Gideon died in 1207 B.C. David became king in 1007 B.C. Ezra brings the law to Jerusalem, the first Jubilee, 457 B.C. And the birth of Christ, 7 B.C. Now, before we go any further, we notice that a lot of these dates end with the number 7, and Christ was born on 7 B.C. We know that the baptism of Christ took place in 29 A.D., and Pentecost was 33 A.D. Now, what's very interesting to note here is all of the different timelines that run to 1994. I mean, there's a lot of them. 7,000 years, 13,006 years, 4,000 years, 3,900 years, 3,200 years, 3,000 years. All of these numbers, again, a tremendous amount of focus on 1994. Now, the fig tree went in leaf, and we look into history, and we know exactly what date and day that happened, and that was May 21st, 1948, when Israel became a nation. And that's the fig tree and leaf. So when we settle that in here, we now have a fixed number, again, that relates to all these other numbers. It's exactly 40 years to 1988 A.D. That's a period of 40 years exactly. And we can look at that as May 21st being the first day of the counting beyond that. Exactly 2,300 days, which we referred to in the book of Daniel, and most everybody over the years, one thing they did have right, they knew that number 23 was important, And we can go back 1,000 years in some of the studies and different things that have taken place, the church's positions. And many of them always felt that it was either 23 years long, the Great Tribulation, or 2,300 days long. That number played a very important role. It turned out that 2,300 days is a period of time that leads into the Great Tribulation, a period of time that we call the beginning of sorrows. Well, actually, the Bible sets that label, the beginning of sorrows, where it says the end is not yet. 1994 was the end of the church age. That's when Satan took his seat in the temple. That's when the gospel was silenced, and the two witnesses were killed, and thereby the silencing of the gospel. But we go 2,300 days from May 21st, which we got to that from 40 years from May 21st of 1948, but then in 1988 we go May 21st to September 6, 1994. Now, September 6th, that is 2,300 days exactly. September 6th is a very interesting date because it is the beginning of the announcement of the trumpets. And we know the trumpets identify with the end of the world. And now the Feast of Trumpets, I think, was around, I'm taking a guess, 26th or the 27th of September. But there was an announcement that took place. And this is, again, sealed in history going back into the Bible. So we have the announcement that falls on exactly 2,300 days to the day of September 6th. Now we have other periods of time. 2017 is really seems to be the end of the Great Tribulation, or that appears to be the end of the Great Tribulation anyway. And that's a 23-year period from 1994 to 2017. I don't believe that anybody could have had the knowledge prior to this. Remember, there are seals involved here. God puts a seal on things, seal it on to the end. He mentioned to Daniel on a couple occasions. So it's sealed on to the end. prior to this, I thought, well, maybe 2017 might be the, that's it, that may be Judgment Day. I've never held anything 100%. Because we could have an error somewhere. We have to admit that, so, you know, we could have something that's wrong. But anyway, right now I think we're pretty rock solid. I mean, again, we've got to be open for correction, so errors are possible. But 2017, I found and come to realize after 2017 came and we were getting into 2017, I came to realize through Isaiah 14, that there must be a judgment upon Leviathan in this world, a judgment on nations in this world. And that we discover specifically in Isaiah 14. And then it dawned on me in 2017, because, those who are looking out into the world to see the problems of the world see that judgment upon Leviathan, which again identifies with the nations, that is the beginning of the judgment. And we know that if things continue the way they are and come by the end of this year, the beginning of next year, I think we're going to find the whole world a major change in the world. But again, we'll see as we get there. But something's going to happen. Something has to happen. Anybody looking out to see what's going on in the world, this whole world's about ready to just collapse financially, collapse politically, collapse spiritually, collapse. I mean, it's just falling. The whole world's falling apart. There does seem to be a big movement towards Christ, towards Christianity, but a lot of that is not necessarily people who are God's elect. There are many people who believe that a lot of things about the Bible, and they may have certain faith in certain things, but the question is, do they have the saving faith? And God always tells us that there's only a remnant to be saved. But in any event, I believe, I'm pretty sure on this, that judgment upon Leviathan began in 2017. And that's when a whole new outlook of things going on in this world and the dismantling of many things, and it's about to come to the head. So we do know one thing. We're at a point in time when all these numbers, all these dates are sealed in place. 2001 might be, well, 2001 was really the announcement, and there's a period that we're going to look at 2011. I think that's a guess, but that identifies with the number 17, and 17 is an important number in the Bible also. And that would bring us to 2011, which is a 17-year period from the beginning of the tribulation to 2011, I believe it would be 17 years, if I recall, 10 and 7. So anyway, these dates are pretty rock solid as far as the key date here, in my opinion. Well, there's no doubt about it in my mind anyway. The key date is fig tree going in leaf. That's the sign that Christ gave us. And we've studied that and looked at that when we looked in Matthew. So when you see the fig tree in leaf, we're there. We're at the end. It's even at the doors. Now, many, many years have come and gone since then, of course. I don't think anybody anticipated such a long time. But I do believe that there's been a lot of looking at the potential end as soon as Israel became a nation. So it brings us to the end. The rock-solid knowledge of any day could happen is when man says peace and safety at last. That's what God tells us. When man says peace and safety at last, that's when sudden destruction will come. That's when judgment day will be here. The question is how long, how many days? Is it a day? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it a year? Is it a couple of years? We really don't know. So there's going to be a period of time we have no knowledge of. And there is a verse in Revelation where God speaks about some of these things, and then he tells John not to write it. I forget exactly how that verse goes, but maybe we'll try to take a look at that before we end our study looking into this calendar. So anyway, we saw a lot of numbers, very interesting numbers, the 430 years and the 1290 years. In the 3,870 years, bringing us to the destruction of Jerusalem, which ended in 1984. But we look through these numbers, and it's very interesting, these numbers, the way they actually just turn out, and again, to the year. So we saw 1,335 days being, again, the length of the ministry of Christ, which identifies with a period of time, and it also will identify with the church age. So we saw all these things, but let's pick up where we left off now last week. We were looking in at Judgment Day itself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, we read, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. So this picture of Judgment Day, Revelation chapter 10, we read in verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel or messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, Christ comes at the last trump, with the sound of the trump, with the sound of the voice of the trumpet, I believe is how it's put. I think we're going to see that in a minute. It seems that God is pretty clear that there seems to be a period of time in here now, because he says, in the days, plural, of the voice of the seventh messenger or angel, when he shall begin to sound. So it's a period of time of the trumpet blowing. And we're going to see that identifies with the trumpets itself a little when we look at the seven trumpets, which we're probably going to look at tonight. So anyway, when it begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants, the prophets. And I do believe that the beginning of the sounding of that last trumpet is actually when mankind says peace and safety at last. But then there's a period of time. No clue on how long that's going to be. I have been unable to find any more focuses on any other dates in the Bible that takes us beyond 2017. So God's not giving us a day and not even a week, only the season. Well, we can know we're in the season. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, when they shall say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in the darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. You know, this word sober, I come to realize this quite some time ago, people seem to get drunk on the name of Jesus. They get drunk on the blood of Christ. And I think that's what the Bible is talking about, to be sober, sober-minded. But there's a lot of churches, they do a lot of strange things. And again, it's like they're drunk on something. I always feel a great vexation whenever I have gone into churches that are like that in the past, and just don't feel well when I'm there, just because of the things they're doing, the way they're acting, and it just doesn't seem right. But anyway, I think that identifies with it. You know, the Bible does talk about them who are drunk on the blood of the Lamb. But anyway, putting on the breastplates, well, let me step back a bit. But let us who are the day be sober, putting on the breastplates of faith and of love, and a helmet, the hope of our salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now we compare that to Luke 21. We read, take heed in yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Now we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So at the last trump is going to be changed. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks to God be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, looking up, that is a key thing. And the Bible tells us to look up. And of course, that's a pretty bold thing for anyone to do if the Lord is coming. Because we go in the Bible and we read, anytime the Lord appeared to someone through a messenger of some type, usually an angel, sometimes through a man, you know, we've seen this kind of a thing, for instance, with Abraham and with Lot. And the two angels that went down and visited Lot, and they were seen as men. Whenever anybody comes in the presence of God, they always find themselves laying down with their face to the ground, because of fear, ultimately, of course. No man sees my face and lives, the Lord tells us. So we'll be changed at that day, that we'll be able to see his face, and this mortal will put on immortality. We'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. We read in Psalms chapter 5, verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship towards thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in the mouth, their inward parts. Let me make this a little bigger, maybe. Okay, their inward parts is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with the tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitudes of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them even ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thy Lord will bless the righteousness with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield? Okay, but again, we go back here. In the morning, and the morning is the key verse. That's a time clue. In the morning, because the Lord is going to come, spiritually speaking, at the last watch. In the morning. We're in that time period right now. In the morning will I direct my prayers unto thee, and will look up. Now we read in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which are in the midst of it depart out. Let not them that are in the countries enter thereunto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after these things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud, with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Psalms chapter 40, we read in verse 1. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let my loving kindness and the truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. So here is a key point that, you know, if you're still standing guilty in your sins and you haven't put it on to the Lord, and he hasn't created in you a new heart and given you that resurrected soul, how does he put it? Let me step back and see how he put it. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. so that I am not able to look up. You know, we stand guilty before the Lord if we're not born again, if we're not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame, that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Okay, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Then he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he see aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that he put his hand again upon his eyes, and made him to look up. And he was restored, and saw every man clearly. Now, of course, that's a hint here, this men as trees. And we see this throughout the Bible. God identifies as people, different nations and people as trees. Israel is the fig tree, for instance. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then shall the king say unto them that is in his right hand, Come, ye blessed, unto my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Truly I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hunger, a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer and say unto them, Truly I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Okay, so again, this is a picture of the end of the world and the separating of the goats and the sheep, which is in view, those on the right, those on the left, and a picture of being cast into the eternal flame. 2 Peter, Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall take in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring them upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. and through covetousness shall they with framed words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down into hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and 8 persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversations of the wicked. For that righteous man, dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of the uncleanness, and despise governments. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, where they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots are they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried about with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome of the same, he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments and deliver unto them, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned into his own vomit, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up in your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hastening on to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which today they are unlearned and unstable, wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So as we're going through this, of course, we're getting this picture of the last days. We're going to see the elements burn with a fervent heat. You know, the separation, the ones on the right, the ones on the left, to be cast into hell's fire. And it does appear from this language that we've read and other language that I've read in the Bible that there is different degrees of hell. You know, there is the lowest hell. God refers to the lowest hell for the false prophets and teachers that are bringing another gospel, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, and the Lord has not said it." Those who are privately interpreting scriptures. You know, the errors we may be making in our understanding of end time events is one thing. But when we take it to the rest of the more important things of the Bible, which, of course, is the salvation plan and those things, the Gospels, that's where the real seriousness comes in. But in these days, again, these last days, the meat of this season is the knowledge of the end time events. But we're also not, of course, to ignore getting back into the Gospels and spending a lot of time there looking at salvation, looking and constantly looking and reviewing through Christ's word, the words that Christ say, which is the entire Bible, actually, anyway. Okay, Revelation 19, verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he delivered them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And the fowls we saw were the false prophets and the false teachers. Jude chapter 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God and the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the coming of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own inhabitants, he had reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the chief messenger, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for a reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Zippor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carrying about the wind of winds trees whose fruit withered, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. And therein is the picture of the sea and the waves roaring. But I do see, I think it's going to be, again, a physical picture, and we already see the spiritual picture, and I think that's even going to get greater. But the raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of the darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there would be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." Let me see if I skipped a sentence here. No, I didn't. Okay, ungodly lust. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Okay, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. Did we just look at, let me see if that's a repeat. I know we looked at 1 John, or maybe that was 2. Let me see. No, I don't think we looked at that. Okay. Okay, 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and love is made perfect in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall not confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth, let me read it. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known him, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I loved God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Okay, so this is, again, God tells us here, let me see, I think this is in the blue. Herein is our God, is our love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. And that's what we're talking about here right now. Boldness, to be bold, to look up, to be able to look up and to be found standing. Again, standing identifies with the bringing of the gospel. And to look up, no man sees his face and lives, and yet we are commanded to look up. You know, if we're not working these things out through the Bible and preparing for this day, you know, I shudder to think of that day, of the people that are not paying attention, refuse to pay attention, or those who are just, you know, nonchalant about it, and maybe they do a little here, but they're not really ready. God speaks, sometimes he speaks of those who are being going to be saved, but some of them will be, how does he put it, will be beaten with few stripes, and some will be beaten with many stripes. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I think it has something to do with the last day. And there is a punishment for those who are saved that are not, you know, deep looking into the Word and preparing themselves for this day and not responding. But again, we are commanded to be found standing, bringing the gospel, and to look up, not to faint. And to faint is to fall away from teaching for a while or spending the time in the Word. You know, I've fainted many times in my life from time to time. But now that I understand that more and realize more where I should be, you know, I pray not that I faint anymore. Okay, let's go back up to the top now. Okay, so we saw this, took a picture here at Judgment Day. We saw a lot of verses, and again, the key thing here is looking up, knowing that the day is going to come, and it's the last trump. We're very close to that. We're at a point where I think we're going to, when we hear peace and safety, I think that's when the beginning of the trumpet comes. Well, it could be coming really at the point of after the 2017 period, which is the nations and Leviathan being judged. And that's a whole period of time. You know, that goes from 2017 to 2024 and 2025 and even beyond that. I mean, we don't know how long a period of time that's going to be, but I don't see it as being a very long period of time. Two key things, or three key things maybe, you know, the trumpets is key. The trumpets are key into looking at the timing. And again, we really couldn't see this picture until the last so many years. And let's go through it and maybe get some kind of an idea of that. See, the trumpets. I'm looking for the link for that. Oh, right here, this is it. Okay, there it is. Okay, the seven trumpets. In trying to figure out these times and the language and saying, well, okay, this language is such that it fits into the beginning of sorrows, and this language is such that it fits into the Great Tribulation, and these this language fits into, you know, the how does a God put it, the second, I forget how that's put, but another period of time when the continued judgment upon Leviathan, the body of Christ is, you know, in the church, and the body of Christ has come out of the church. And then a period of time, you know, really, when the last trump is sounded. So for a more in-depth understanding, you can listen to the audio study, Seven Trumpets. It's four parts. And there's another study called Woe, Woe, Woe. And you'll find it up on our Bible page on NLA. Let's look at this. Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, that's September 6th, by the way, 1994, when you work out the calendars and the dates and the counting of the days from the beginning of the year and looking into the Jewish calendar, it's the announcing of the blowing of the trumpets. Okay, so let's go back. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a holy convocation. Ye shall do no several work. It is a day of blowing of the trumpets unto you. It's the calling of judgment. You're not going to be doing work on that day. You're going to be declaring a judgment, ultimately. Salvation will escape and be no longer available in the churches. Salvation will continue, of course, in the world, because I believe that's going to go right up to the last day. I see nothing that prevents that from happening. As a matter of fact, I think the as God's plan is set, the last person to become saved, that's when it's over. No need to continue further. But anyway, and ye shall offer a burnt offering for a sweet savor unto the Lord, one young bullock, one ram, and seven lambs of the first year without blemish. And their meat offering shall be of flour mingled with oil, and 3/10 deals for a bullock, and 2/10 deals for a ram, and 1/10 deal for one lamb throughout the seven lambs, and one kid of the goats for a sin offering to make an atonement for you, beside the burnt offering of the mouth and his meat offering, and the daily burnt offerings of his meat offerings, and the drink offerings according to unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. And ye shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month, it brings us to September 15th, 1994, the beginning of the 50th Sabbath, that's the Jubilee, okay, and that's when the actual date of the Jubilee begins. And God, you know, refers to that as the Sabbath. It's the Jubilee of Jubilees. It's the 50th Jubilee. And remember, there are seven sevens and then one day. So seven sevens of years. So it's 49 years. And then the 50th year is a Sabbath year. So we're in a Sabbath Jubilee, which runs 50 years long. Pray that, you remember the Lord told us, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath, nor on the winter. And we saw the picture of the winter identifying with the breaking up of the ship when Paul was sailing. Let's just step back and reread the last couple of verses here. And ye shall have on the 10th day of the 7th month a holy convocation, and ye shall afflict your souls. Ye shall not do any work therein, but ye shall offer a burnt offering unto the Lord for a sweet savor. Okay. Leviticus chapter 22, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy thing of the children of Israel, and that they profane not my holy name in those things which they hallow unto me. I am the Lord. Say unto them, whosoever he be of all your seed among your generations that goeth into the holy things which the children of Israel hallow unto the Lord, having his uncleanness upon him, that soul shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper, or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy thing until he be clean. And whoso toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing, whereby he may be made unclean to or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatever uncleanness he hath. The soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things, unless he wash his flesh with water. And we know that water identifies with the gospel. A lot of these things, there's a lot of hard to understand language here. You know, the Bible was purposely written so it would be hard to understand. And those who rewrite the Bible to try to make it easier just destroy the Bible. They've added or taken away. But anyway, and when the sun is down, he shall be clean and shall afterwards eat of the holy thing, because it is his food. That which dieth of itself, or is torn with beast, he shall not eat to defile himself therewith. I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep mine ordinance, lest they bear sin for it, and die thereof. If they profane it, I, the Lord, do sanctify them. Okay, Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, again, brings us back to September 6th, the announcing of the blowing of the trumpets. Shall ye have a Sabbath? Sabbath's coming up on the 15th. Blowing of the trumpets also coming up around that time period. Let me back off here. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, and holy convocation. Ye shall do no several work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Also in the tenth day of the seventh month there shall be a day of atonement, beginning, that's the beginning of the 50th Jubilee, the Sabbath Jubilee, the Jubilee of Jubilees. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is the day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work in the same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and ye shall afflict your souls in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening unto evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath. Okay. You know, we look at this language, I believe is really telling us that we're not going to be doing the work of bringing the gospel. We will be doing it outside of the church, of course, in our own homes. Remember the plague of darkness, and it was a darkness that was so thick you can feel it, the Bible records. And that's, of course, in the days of Egypt, when God was saving his people to come out of Egypt. And during that time period, they had lights in their dwellings. Wherever they lived, they did have light. And the light identifies with the gospel. Okay, the beginning of sorrows, Matthew 13:30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 24, verse 7. And 8, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It's leading into the great tribulation. That's the period of time that God is talking about. And we know, look, we do see these things outwardly. There seems to be a rise on things. It may be because we have great communications and we can see what's going on around the world, but it's more than that. You know, we can see that there are nations against nations. Kingdom of Satan definitely has raised up against the kingdom of God. And this, is, of course, is focusing in on the churches. But I do think it's part of the strong delusion that God sends to them, because that's all they talk about is the worldly thing, the physical thing, especially when they try to figure out the book of Revelation. They're always talking about the physical things, the worldly things. They talk about the wars. And the famines is a famine of hearing the word of God. The pestilence is the false teachers and preachers that are destroying the word of God within the churches. The earthquake is not one stone left upon another. There's no okey-doke, no building up, edifying of the body of Christ to be built upon it in various places. And but all these things are the beginning of sorrows. It's going to end up that it's in all places. And that, of course, begins in 1994, began. Daniel 8, verse 13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be... Now, this is interesting. This is the book of Daniel. So this is on the Old Testament side. And God is speaking of saints being in there. Saints are men that became born again and were translated into God's, you know, heaven, eternal salvation, and so on. And that generally did not happen in the Old Testament. But, of course, there are certain exceptions. There's Elijah, there's Moses, there's Enoch. Those are three in particular. Maybe these are one of the saints that God is speaking of. Maybe there are other saints that God doesn't tell us about that he translated into the kingdom of heaven before the resurrection of the dead. And the first resurrection of the dead, of course, was at the cross. I mean, at the resurrection of Christ. Many, many were seen in that day. We read, well, let's continue reading. Daniel 8:13. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint say unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall it be the vision concerning the sacrifice? Now remember, the sacrifice identifies with Christ. He's the sacrifice. He's the daily. You know, the word sacrifice really isn't there. It's inferred. How long concerning the daily and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary, it's where the gospel is supposed to be preached, and the host to be trodden under the foot. How long before that happens? And he said unto me, 2,300 days, 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And that brings us in to the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Now let's look at these trumpets, the first four trumpets. Let's see, it's coming up, well, we're a little over the hour. I want to finish off this area before we shut down for the evening. The first four trumpets is a picture of the beginning of sorrows. It's 2,300 days. Revelation 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared them to sound. The first angel sounded. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Trees identify with men. The grass also identifies with people, with the flesh. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers, the river of life, and upon the fountains of waters, the water of life. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. It identifies with a bitter gospel, poisonous. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the poison waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded. And a third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon. And a third part of the stars. So as a third part of them were darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. And I beheld, and lo, an angel, or a messenger, the Holy Spirit, flying through the midst of heaven to the body of Christ, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which were yet to sound. So there's three more trumpets. Now these four trumpets are identifying, it took me quite a long time looking at these verses over and over and over trying to figure out the timing of things. But I've learned this a while back that these four trumpets particularly identify with the beginning of sorrows. They're simultaneous, actually. It's one right after another, happening. It's the beginning of the judgment upon the house of God, which God says that judgment must first begin in the house of God. And this is where it begins, in the sanctuary, in the place where the gospel is to be preached. Let's go back and look at Job. And Job represents the body of Christ. Job chapter 13, verse 22. And this is going to relate in a way in a picture of these first four trumpets particularly. Job 1:13-22. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans, that's the seven. It's interesting that it identifies with the seven. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans, that's the fowls, that's what the word Chaldeans means, the fowls. The Chaldeans or the fowls, and that of course identifies with the false prophets. The fowls made out three bands and fell upon the camels. The camels identify with the corporate church, the beast of burden to some degree. And have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, the word of God. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and to be silenced. And I am only alone. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Okay, now, and then let's go back and look a little bit at this. The fire of God has come down from heaven, okay? Is this the first one? I think it is. Let's see, from Ephesians 7, took away while he was speaking. Okay, here it is. So the fire of God, it identifies, of course, with judgment. And the king sent, this is 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 9. Then the king sent unto him captains of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of the hill. And he spake unto him, thou man of God, the king hath said, come down. Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50, with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly. And Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So we can identify this with what's being read here. While he was yet speaking, there came one another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven. There's judgment coming down. It had burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only alone have escaped alone to tell thee. So this is a picture of what's going on in the corporate church. Again, it's given us parables in order to understand a better understanding of this picture of these first four trumpets we read about in Revelation. Now, the Chaldeans, they're the fowls. That's what interpreted, that word is interpreted as the fowls. We read in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 6, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. I raise up the fowls. Remember, the Lord spoke about the call of the fowls of heaven for a great feast to devour the flesh. in Revelation. Lo, I have raised up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling place that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swift, swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as an eagle that hasteth to eat. And it's interesting, it's an eagle. Eagle is an unclean bird, of course. It's a fowl, is what it is. And God identifies the church with the wings of an eagle. So it's identifying to some degree with a fowl. You know, we also see the picture, the parable, where the fowls of heaven, you know, the fowls of the air nest among the branches. The branches identify with the body of Christ, and the fowls are nesting in between them. Again, it's a picture. We're going to pick that up probably in Matthew when we look at that. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Okay, the great wind. We read in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and it was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not. And they said, every one of it to his fellows, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast their lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Okay, but again, the picture of what we're looking at particularly is the great wind. And God sends that great wind. And we're seeing this picture of a ship. The ship identifies with the corporate body going out into the world, the sea, to sink into the bottom of the sea, to sink into hell, making them fishes of men. Fish identify with men, and so on. The net is the gospel net. And you see that picture in the gospel. Revelation 8 now, we're going to pick up verse 13. And I beheld, and lo, an angel. This is the first woe, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which were yet to sound. Woe number one, first woe, which is the fifth trumpet. This identifies with the Great Tribulation, the period of time between 1994, and goes probably all the way up to 2017, which is a 23-year period, the length of the Great Tribulation. Although the body has come out of her, come out of my people, you be my partners with her. And also we know God speaks that because there's no flesh going to be saved for the elect's sake, he's going to shorten their days. So they came out. That's the picture of that. Now we did see that as we were looking into Revelation. But Revelation 9, and the fifth angel, a messenger, sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. This is the loosing of Satan. That is Christ. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. No more gospel. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. They eat all the spiritual things, the grass, the trees, the leaves, everything. They destroy everything. And that's the all of the lost and the false prophet, the false gospels going through. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, to be buried with Christ, to be dead and put off the old man, to die and to be risen with the new man, to become born again. They shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, identifying with the churches, prepared for battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns of gold. They're claiming to be the kings of God, but they're the kings of the earth. And they're not crowns of gold, it's fool's gold. And their faces were the faces of men. God's talking about men. And they had hair as the hair of women. And that identifies with the bride of Christ. In this case, it's the harlot. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And that, of course, Satan walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron instead of righteousness. And the sounds of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto serpents, and with their stings in their... And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Five is judgment, and it's a period of time in months. God gives us the length of that in other ways, how long that period it is. He does tell us. And they had a king over him, over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. Of course, that's Satan. One woe is past. And behold, there cometh two more woes hereafter. So this clearly, and this is the chronology of end time events in the trumpets. We saw the first four trumpets identifying with the beginning of sorrows. This one is the great tribulation. Okay. Then we have the sixth trumpet, the second woe. This is total desolation now. And the sixth angel, the messenger, sounded. And remember, God says, you know, one woe is now past, and behold, there are two more woes after. So there's two more periods of time that God is speaking about. Six trumpets, second woe, desolation, Revelation 9:13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And we know that's the bringing of destruction. This is now the time of desolation when God calls his people out, and then she is desolate. The river Euphrates has dried up. There is no more gospel going out. And four identifies with universality, and this is these particular messengers is the messenger of destruction. And we've been through this in the book of Revelation. You can always go back and re-listen to that study. And I have other studies done in Revelation at an earlier time, and a lot of Greek and Hebrew involved in that, and really can really build up a much better picture, I think, when you put them both together. The seventh trumpet, third woe, judgment day itself. Revelation 10. And I saw another mighty messenger or angel come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud. You know, we're witnesses, we're a cloud of witnesses, Christ. We're in Christ, Christ is in us, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as well as the sun, the light of the gospel. His feet as pillars of fire, coming with judgment, and he had already been through the judgment for us. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. He's the Lion of Judah. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. So God is holding back something and of what's going to happen at some point in time during this. This is the time of judgment. And there's no way we can even understand what the reality of that is. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So when the beginning of the sounding of the final trumpet begins, which I suspect very strongly is the timing of when man says peace and safety at last, and that's when it's the beginning of the sounding, I think. And so the beginning of the sound is a time period between then and the time when Christ himself puts his feet onto this earth and declares, you know, there is time no longer. End of the world, judgment day is there, look at dealing with those on the right and those on the left and so on and so forth. Judgment day is here. Okay, so we'll pick up after this next week where we left off here, but I do want to bring something up I discovered recently, and I found it very interesting, but it's not the Bible. I want to make that clear. But I posted this video because I found it very, very powerful. This is a letter from Pilate to Caesar about Jesus, and I've been looking into this to make sure that this is true, and it does appear to be actual documentation going back to the days of Jesus, when Rome, when he was tried in Rome, and a record was kept, and letters were put in. Pilate, at that time period, sent a letter to Caesar concerning the events. Jerusalem was almost overturned. I was listening recently to some old studies by Camping, and he was talking about how, you know, and he started looking at words that I never really looked that hard at, and I'm definitely going to take a good look at it, and we'll definitely have a good look at it by the time we get to this time in Matthew. But they wanted to destroy Jesus. And the Herodians coupled together with the scribes and the Pharisees, and then, of course, you have, what was it, the king of Israel. What is he called? I can't remember. But in any event, the king of Israel. Now, that king, with the Herodians, they're the children of Esau. And if you remember, you know, Esau have I, God, Jacob have I loved, God says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, in the womb, before they were even born. So the bloodline of Esau ultimately is the Arab world, okay? But back in the day, when Christ was, they were dwelling together, and there were the different areas, of course, the Samaritans and those here and there. But nevertheless, they're the children of Esau, and God has cursed that bloodline. Now, what I found really interesting when Camping was going into the study, he was doing some good word studies, and he was bringing up the point of how much evil was going on and how much venom they had in there against Christ, and they feared the people. They feared Christ ultimately because of who he was. They recognized something about him. Now, what I'm put up here is history. It's not the Bible. So my point I'm trying to make is that we have to be very careful not to take the things we read in this historical document, okay, and then relate it to try to do any interpretation in the Bible. But as you read through this, and actually someone's reading through it for you, you can follow along because the words are there. And as you go through this particular document, you see a lot, tens, if not, well, I don't know that I can say scores, maybe it was scores, but tens at least, tens of tie lines going into the Bible. I mean, anybody who's a student of the Bible and especially familiar with the Gospels, I mean, it was just point after point after point after point that was found in this letter. So I put a note here. This is on the bottom of the page. If you come to education, come to Bible studies and click on that, you'll find it in the bottom of this page. But I put it in other places too. I put it in three places in the website. So let me just read this and then we're going to end our study for tonight. I found this fascinating video concerning the archaeological writings of the Sanhedrin and the Talmuds of the Jews. These are the official documents. Now remember, courts make recordings, and Romans were very good at recordings, okay? These are the official documents made in these courts in the days of Jesus Christ, when the manuscripts, from the manuscripts found in Constantinople and the records of the Sanhedrin docket taken from the Vatican at Rome. So it was found in two places, this particular document, recorded in Constantinople and also recorded in Vatican. The individual who discovered this had access into the Vatican and also to the other document and the other, and compared them and wrote, and deciphered it into English. It was two doctors that worked on this. And this was like in about 1913, 1916, somewhere early in the 20th century, where they found these documents and then brought them and translated them. So these are the official documents made in these courts in the days of Jesus Christ, from the manuscripts in Constantinople and the records of the centurial dockets taken from the Vatican at Rome. Anybody who is reading their Bible will see tens of tie-ins with no contradictions. But remember, this is a recorded history and should not be appreciated as an extension of God's word for biblical interpretation, but is for sure fascinating. It may confirm the authority of Jesus Christ, but remember, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Do not rest your faith in archaeological writings, because God said even the devils believe and tremble. True faith can only come from the hearing of the word. But I posted this up because I found it was so fascinating, number one. And it also, and I had just listened to studies concerning the time period where Satan was just on fire in this day. Remember, Christ said to Judas, this is your hour. This is the hour of darkness. This is your time. This is your hour. And it was his hour. The recording of this, in the historical sense, talks about a letter going from Pilate to Caesar, and Pilate was so concerned that Jerusalem was going to fall, that these people came from all over the land, all of the Herodians and those who followed the king and the Sanhedrin, from all over Israel, they came into Jerusalem. And this letter is going out to Caesar, and he's telling him, there's no way we could have prevented the overtake. We had to do something. Now, I'm going to get too much into it. It's a fascinating document. I just warn people, though, anything that they find in this that is not clearly laid out in the Bible, but I'll tell you what, pretty much everything in here was clearly laid out. But again, there may be something, because I haven't studied it deeply. I've only listened to this once. I'm going to listen to it again. But it was just so powerful. I could not believe what I was reading in a historical document. The attitude of Pilate, and the conversations that took place, and the details that he wrote and sent to Caesar. It just was totally overwhelming. So you have this document recorded in the court there in Israel, which I guess eventually ended up, the document ended up in the Vatican, and then the one that was sent out to Rome, okay, where Caesar gets it, and that would have been recorded in Constantinople. So I think it's a valid piece of history. Again, I warn people not to use anything in this to interpret anything in the Bible, because it's a violation, but it's fascinating. All right, with that, we're going to end our study for the night. We're going to pick up next week. Let me see where we're at here for a second. Let me get back to where I was, if I can find it. Okay, we were looking at trumpets. I just want to get an idea. We might just have one more lesson to finish off. Down to 26, well, maybe two more weeks, but we'll see how we go. Because we're down 46 pages on this, more than that, let's see. We're down to 30 pages, 31. Yeah, we may be able to finish next week. You know, this was a long study. It's an hour and a half today. Maybe if we do another hour and a half, we'll be done next week, and then we'll be able to get into Matthew. I'm really anxious about getting into Matthew. But okay, with that, we're going to end the study. Good night, everybody.
Good night.